This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, everyone, to the Mindful Hearts Academy. Please give me a thumbs up if you can see me and you can hear me. We're going to get started. It is so good to be back, mashallah. If you can let me know and we'll get started. A thumbs up, Sister Aisha, if you could give me a thumbs up and we'll get started, inshallah. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulullah. You know, it's so good to be back and to continue with our conflict resolution. Jazakallah khairan. You know, in every relationship, there will be a point where you have to negotiate. You're going to have differences of opinion, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, with your family members, with your colleagues. And if you don't have the right skills, those discussions can very easily turn into a fight. And if you don't have the right skills, you won't ever get your way in a very diplomatic and fair way. So what we're going to discuss today is like peaceful persuasion. We're not going to force anyone. We're not going to fight. We're not going to do anything dysfunctional because there are some people who use dysfunctional tactics. They cry and they have a fit and they will have tantrums in order to get their way. Or others will sit there and ignore the people and be very mad and give a silent treatment. How many people do you know who behave this way when things don't go their way? When they want to get their way, they either have a fit or they give you the silent treatment. Tell me now. Alaykum assalam. So good to have you all here. I miss you all. I miss the Mindful Hearts and I can't wait for us to get started again. So do you feel that most people use the tactic of exploding, getting angry and making everyone like succumb to them? Or is it more of the silent treatment? So now, bismillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulullah, we're going to get into it. Who's ready to learn the skills of conflict resolution in persuading the other person? This is such a critical skill to have. If you have it, your life will go smoothly. Your relationships will, you know, will just grow. And also you will be able to get the things that you're really wanting. And so we're going to get right into it, inshallah. All right, let's do it like this. All right. So what do you think are some of the common mistakes in personal negotiations? Now, as always, I ask you to be involved, to engage, to, you know, give me answers, get that energy. That way I will feed off of your energy and you will benefit the most. So what do you think are some of the common mistakes? What do people do when, let's say, they get into an argument with their spouse? If you write it in the comment section, what do they end up doing that messes everything up? Can you think about it in your own relationships? What seems to be a common mistake? So some of the common mistakes, let's go like this. One is avoiding the issue, right? There are some people who are just like, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. I know a lot of men do this, right? A lot of men may have a tendency like, oh my God, I do not want a 3-hour fight. So let's just pretend there is no problem. How many of you can relate to this? How many of you have experienced this or you do it yourself, right? It's just like, we're going to pretend there's no problem. And, you know, I've been doing the counseling, alhamdulillah, for three decades. I've worked with thousands of people, and I see this reoccurring time and time again. I see that the downfall of people is not having conflict resolution. I would very confidently say over 90% of the people have no clue how to resolve conflict. Very confidently. Because people can be amazing. They can be wonderful until a conflict arises. And then you see people's true colors, right? You see the immaturity. You see the attacks. You see the shutdown, being cut off. You could have a friendship. You could have family members that you have taken care of. You have loved. You have nurtured for decades. And one wrong move. And what happens? Right? They just cut the person off. So one of the main mistakes is avoiding the issue, taking things personally, right? Let's say you're telling them about something that is bothering you, or you're just trying to be open and honest, and they will become so offended, right? Or there could be a lack of clear communication. Oh, well, I thought you knew. What do you mean? You don't read my mind? What is wrong with you? You need a course on how to read my mind. It's been 10 years, right? A lot of times we expect the person in our lives to like read our mind. How could you not know it? So we don't communicate. And then focusing on winning rather than resolving, right? There are people out there who just take it so seriously, and it's about, you know, they're very competitive. I'm a competitive person. I like to take things on seriously, but not in conflict resolution. It's not a win-lose, because if you see it that way, you just want to defeat the other person. And we can't have that mindset. And we'll talk about having the right mindset. But first, we're going to talk about the common mistakes. And then the last part is neglecting the emotional needs, right? Neglecting emotional needs. So let's see. Sister Fatma is saying getting defensive. Okay, so that's a common thing. And coming into discussion defensive, right? Yeah, that is one of the biggest issues, is that people just are defensive. They're not ready to hear it. As soon as they hear something, they feel it's an attack. So they immediately, and I always ask this, I go, if someone throws a punch at you, what do you do in return? And it's to defend, right? So some people say hit right back. I say, well, you haven't taken martial arts, right? So you have to defend first. So we need to really look at this and see how can we overcome these common mistakes. So we're going to take them one by one, inshallah. Okay. So the first one is, you know, avoiding the issue. Avoiding the issue. This is the easy way out, right? It's like, you know, we're just going to pretend there is nothing going on. Let's pretend we don't have to make this big decision about moving, you know, making this big decision about, you know, our financial situation. And we're just going to pretend, right? And that seems to be a very common mistake. So what is the issue? When you ignore the problems, what ends up happening, they lead to unresolved issues and there's growing resentment. Because like, oh my God, I'm mad at this. We have a problem. It's not getting solved. And by ignoring it, it's not going to magically go away, right? So what is the solution? We have to address the problems openly and honestly. You cannot ignore, right? It will not go away. So we have to definitely make that effort. What's the next mistake that happens? Taking things personally. Right? It's like a person is coming to you. Maybe it's your children, right? They're coming and saying, Mom, I feel like you're always angry, right? And then I'm not always angry. What are you talking about? And then it's like, okay, all right, Mom is not into self-reflection. She's not into fixing herself. Let's just, what happens? Avoid. So taking things personally, like let's say your spouse is talking about, you know, I feel ignored. What do you mean? I'm working so hard. Why are you ignored all the time? They become very, very defensive. So when it conflicts, when they feel like personal attacks, that's what leads to defensiveness. So we're going to talk about this from both sides, right? One, it's the delivery. So you don't want to throw punches, because if you throw punches, we said someone's going to be defensive. We're not going to throw punches, and we have to be receptive. We have to understand, you know, it is a really good sign when, for instance, your spouse wants to say what the problems are, right? I had one couple that, the husband likes to tell the wife, for instance, you know, I like you to dress this way, or I like you to do this. And it became like, you know, she became very offended. And I said, you know, it's really good that he's communicating these things to you. He wants to inform you. He wants to give you the key to his heart. And if you get upset every time, what's going to happen? And that's what he's like, I don't want to share anymore. Right. And one of the biggest problems and one of the biggest complaints that women make is like, oh, my husband shuts down. He stonewalls me. He doesn't share. Does that sound common? Does that sound like something that you guys usually, you face, in the sense that maybe the man is shut down and is not sharing? Let's see what the sister is saying. I know. Let's see. Bismillah. Okay, I know you can't do the work for others, but how do you move past the shock and the pain of someone having resentment towards you and choosing to sever ties because of it? I'm not a mind reader. Exactly. None of us are. But the thing is, because people don't know how to resolve issues, they just prefer to cut people off. And it's un-Islamic, it is immature, and we really need to know how to handle this better. Now, what I have seen is that there are times when a person will attempt to fix a relationship and they will make that effort, but that other person will, you know, is just not being cooperative, not being cooperative. So you have to kind of look at it, look at yourself very objectively, being very honest with yourself. Have you been reactionary when they bring up a problem? Have you been receptive to criticism? Because if you have a tendency to be defensive, if you have a tendency to explode, if you have a tendency to be sad and you know, maybe get very emotional, then they feel like, well, maybe I can't, you know, I can't really share. So then they cut off. So you have to just really look at that. Okay. So the solution is to focus on the problem, not the people involved, right? So you're looking at it as, okay, here is our problem. I'm not going to take this personally. And really, in life, if you can get into the habit of not taking things personally, like the person who cut you off, the clerk who has an attitude, it's not always something that they have against you. Maybe they were just fired. Maybe they just had a fight with their spouse. Maybe they found out that they have cancer. Like, you don't know. You don't know what people are going through. So if you stop taking things personally, guess what? You're going to live a more peaceful life. Okay? So you can't solve problems if you're just avoiding them. And this is what a lot of people do. And there is like a lack of clear communication. There's a lack of clear communication. People are just expecting you to be a mind reader, right? And there's vague or unclear communication, right? And that can make conflict worse. A lot of times this happens in marriages where a person will be like, well, I don't remember you saying that. Or they try to be indirect because they're so afraid. They're walking on eggshells. So they're like, oh, I don't want to kind of say it directly because she may explode. So I'm just going to tiptoe. And a lot of times women feel that about men who have anger issues, or like, how do I say it a roundabout way? But the solution is to be clear and specific about your thoughts. And then listen actively. So you have to be clear in what you're communicating. You're not throwing punches. You're not attacking. So the person doesn't become defensive. And you also listen very carefully. Okay. And then, so it's focusing. Now, another problem is when people focus on winning rather than resolving, right? And many times I find that people think they are at war when they talk about their spouse, when they talk about their children, when the children are talking about their parents. It is like, this is the enemy, and I have to win. I have to beat them. And this is so destructive. So trying to win the argument can lead to ongoing conflict. You're not even listening. You're just like, I'm right, you're wrong. And then you're just not even being reasonable or logical. It's just like, I'm right. And you find that there's some people, and when you watch this, it's, oh my gosh, it can be so frustrating. And sometimes you're doing it and maybe you're not even realizing it, because it's kind of like, la, 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 you had your fingers in your ears and you just don't want to listen. And you just are adamant about your position because you're like, I have to win, right? And even when the other side is making sense, even if they're providing dalil, providing proof, they are giving very logical explanations, and you're just still like, la, la, la. You don't want, because you feel like, oh, I can't give in because I'm going to lose. So this is very critical, and we have to change it. The solution is work together to find a solution that works for everyone, not about winning, losing. And many times when I'm doing marriage counseling, I find this is just surprising how easy it can be. Right? Because what? Yeah, they're fighting. They're so mad at each other. And they're like, she's saying this is my way, and he's saying this is my way. And then as soon as I say, how can you compromise? What can you do that both of you can be happy? Suddenly the answer comes. It's as simple as that. It's this idea. The problem is when someone is just adamant about this is the only way, and I'm going to push, 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 push until I get my way. This is so ineffective. And it'll lead to fights. It'll lead to arguments. It will lead to just being very frustrated all the time. Okay, let's see. What tips do you have to not take things personally in the moment? A stranger was very rude to me once, and I instantly reacted. Afterwards, I was shocked at how upset I got. It was a stranger. Who cares? Okay, very good point. You know, we get triggered by different things, and it's important to know what our triggers are, okay? And you know, one of the things that we do here, like on the Mindful Hearts Academy, this is why it's a powerful, powerful platform, because we're learning to become the best version of ourselves. We are learning that, yes, we do have flaws. Yes, we do have shortcomings and insecurities, but how can we overcome them? Right. And just the fact that you are asking, like, oh my gosh, I realized that this was wrong. This is you're so much further ahead than most people who don't even realize they did anything wrong. They will just be like, oh my God, what's wrong with this person? They have a problem. Yeah, they're psycho. So the fact that you're questioning yourself is very powerful. What you could do is start looking at, what are your triggers? What makes you react? What was it about that specifically that triggered you? And then start working on yourself. And then start looking at the lessons on the Mindful Hearts Academy. Every week we have something that we're focusing on, and look and see which one applies, right? The one, you know, the lesson we did, level 2 on insecurities. That's a really critical one. And in that, we're talking about how to overcome insecurities, because an insecure person is the one who will get defensive. Okay. So that, very good point. It's just looking at yourself, knowing what your insecurities are, working on them, and really not reacting, right? Someone says something, really reflect on it. Think of your response. That's one of the most powerful lessons I learned from my mother, Allah yarhamha, and my grandmother. They always said, just think about your responses. And they were one of the most diplomatic people, mashallah, tabarakallah. I saw them take very difficult situations. You know, my mom had 10 sister-in-laws, mashallah. Some people can't handle one, right? 10 sister-in-laws. And they all loved and adored her. And they were like polar opposites. Okay. It's not like they were all like, oh, we all get along. We're all the same. No. But the fact is that she was always so cautious and mindful. I would say mindful about what she said and how she said it. So the more you reflect, the more you stay quiet, the more you have control over your emotions, the more you are going to manage these, like the relationships in your life. Okay. All right. So then it's about neglecting emotional needs, right? That's another mistake that happens, neglecting emotional needs and ignoring the feelings. What it does is that it makes you feel hurt and and it leads to misunderstandings, right? A lot of times people are like, I don't care. I don't care. She's mad again. She's sad again. She's crying again. And I see it sometimes like within the session, the wife starts crying and the other, you know, the wife is crying and then the husband is just looking at her. I'm like, show some love. Make her feel that you care about her. Just looking at someone's like it must suck to be sad. Right? You have to like really, you can't ignore the feelings. Solution, acknowledge and address each other's emotion. So you could just be more aware. And don't try to, you know, don't question, right? Don't question like, oh, why? I don't understand. Like, why are you mad? Oh, you're wrong to be mad. Oh, you're wrong to be hurt. Like, what is that? Like, where in the book of conflict resolution is it okay to tell someone their emotions are wrong, right? How do you deal with a husband who can be like that? Who can be like what? Ignoring your emotions? You know, it's about what I find that is very helpful, because sometimes when you just say, hey, you need to do this, they don't, you know, they may not get it. But for instance, when I have a couple come in and I listen and I start giving pointers, and then they're also going through my marriage program, the 5 pillars of marriage, and then they start watching the lessons, it's like something clicks. They're getting that information from someone other than their spouse, because I'm sure we've all been guilty of this, where when our spouse says something, we're just like, la, 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 we're like not tuning in, we're not taking it seriously. But when someone else says it, suddenly we take it seriously. I mean, I've been guilty of that. I remember my husband talking about intermittent fasting. Oh my God, for a year, intermittent fasting, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. I wasn't interested. I wasn't taking action. Then I go to lunch with a friend and she was getting ready for her, you know, her daughter's big wedding, and she did intermittent fasting, lost 20 pounds. And I was suddenly interested. I came home and I'm like, oh my God, I want to try intermittent fasting. He's like, seriously? Right? Because, you know, sometimes we tune out our spouse, but when it comes from a different source. So for instance, going through the marriage program. And Sister Aisha, if you could put that link to 5 pillars of marriage for anyone who may need this, and you need, because we can just talk about this for a limited amount of time, but if someone really has issues in their marriage, or if you know someone who's really struggling with their marriage and you don't know what to tell them, you know, sometimes a person can complain for an hour and I'm like, know what to tell you, you know, I feel bad. But you could refer them to going through the program together, and it truly opens their eyes. And I've had so many of the male clients say, my gosh, like I binge watch this, because it's like whatever I learn, I apply it with my spouse. And it's like, my God, I get such a different response. And so alhamdulillah, it can be very, very helpful. Okay. Let's see. Yes, that empathy and rahma is so important to show your spouse. Definitely, definitely. I feel like crying can be viewed as using your emotions to manipulate the situation and garner sympathy. I think that's why people hesitate to comfort or validate the feelings of someone. True, true. Sometimes people think it's manipulative, but you have to show that concern. It's really important when you just are disconnected and you don't act like you care about the person, then it just does not foster understanding. All right. So why is this one stretched out? Why do they look like that? We don't know. I don't know how to cultivate the right mindset for conflict resolution. You have, like, mindset is everything. You know, in real estate, the buzzword is what? Location, location, location. In psychology, the buzzword is mindset, mindset, mindset. You've got to have the right mindset. If you don't go into a negotiation, if you don't go into a conflict resolution with the right mindset, you're going to fail. Okay. So thank you, Sister Aisha, for putting this. For those of you who are struggling with your marriage, or you know someone who's struggling, make sure that you take advantage of this, you know, having the course, because your spouse can hear it very differently when it comes from someone else rather than yourself. Okay. All right. So what is the right mindset to have? Okay. You have to cultivate the right mindset. First, you have to adopt a collaborative attitude. It has to be like, I'm here, you know, and it's more like, I want to understand you. I want to work with you, not this me versus you, right? So that's very critical to have that right, you know, that right mindset. Second, you need to embrace empathy. You need to embrace it. And showing that you care, having the rahma, wajalna bainakum mawaddata wa rahma, right? Allah has put this mawadda and rahma, the love and the mercy. And how much do you show it? How much do you show it to your spouse, right? Staying calm and composed. Now, we're going to take each of these and go into it further, give more explanation, because as you know, I like to give the how. A lot of times people talk theoretically. They just say, hey, sister, like, be more patient. Oh, yeah, overcome your insecurities. But how, right? How do we do this? And I'm going to get into giving you more details. Staying calm and composed. You guys, whoever is spazzing out, they're the one with the issue, or they come across as the one with the issue. If you stay composed, you're calm, you're not losing it, you're not yelling, screaming, then you are definitely, you have control of your emotions. That's so critical. Maintain open communication. Okay. You're not hiding. You're not avoiding. You're not exploding. You are communicating, and you focus on the issue, not the person. You're not attacking the person. A lot of times people become very cruel and they start name calling. They start telling the person, you know, like, you're lazy, you're indifferent, these things lead to a lot of resentment. You could, let's say, for instance, look at the fact that, oh, okay, this place is a mess. Not that you're lazy for not keeping it clean. The bill has not been paid. Not you, I can't rely on you on anything, right? These are very critical to keep in mind. Now, which one do you think is the hardest for you? Very quickly, tell me, which one do you find? Is it having a collaborative attitude? Is it being empathetic? Is it the idea of being calm, or having open communication, or focusing on the issue, not the person? I'm very curious to see. Okay. Does ADHD affect conflict? Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. ADHD does affect conflict resolution, because the person is going to be distracted. They're going to look like they don't care, where they're just not focusing. And they can forget the issues. They can forget what they promised. So definitely they can. The Five Pillars of Marriage was truly eye-opening and incredibly helpful. I approached them with great seriousness, treating the videos as a course. I took notes and have implemented the skills. Sister Fatima, give me a high five. Woo! What a beautiful testimony. Sister Aisha, if you could copy that and put it on our testimonies, because that's an amazing one. Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad that techniques into my marriage, I'm so glad that you benefited. And really, anyone who goes through it and takes it seriously, it is a course, and there are exercises. And if you go with an open mind, open heart, apply it, I guarantee that you're going to see results. And if not, not just in your marriage, but in all relationships, that's what I hear, is that people will tell me, oh my God, all my relationships got better. Alhamdulillah. Please like and share the video to get the algorithm. Thank you. Yes, please. Say hello. Say maybe where you're tuning in from. And I would really appreciate that. Thank you for that reminder. All right, moving right along. Okay. So now adopt a collaborative attitude. What is that? So you have to come in with this attitude, like, I want to focus on finding mutual solutions, not just winning. Not winning the argument, okay? And I had this lovely, lovely Swiss-Italian neighbor, Rashida, who embraced Islam, mashallah. And she would always say with her sweet voice, it's like, win the hearts, not the arguments. You know, I loved it. I love it. And it's so true. When you win, when you're focused on winning someone's heart, and it's not about winning an argument, right? May Allah have mercy on her husband. He passed away a few years ago, and they're like madly in love, subhanAllah. And they were the first people that I went to Umrah with, and just thought about them a lot. This we alhamdulillah had the blessing of going for Umrah, and I made so much du'a for them because they were the people we went with the first time. So see the other party as a partner in problem solving, not your enemy. Can we all write that in the comment section? Everyone write this so that it gets ingrained, okay? See the other party as a partner. They are not your enemy. I had to say that to a client who, you know, her family was looking out for her. She has some health issues and they're trying to get her help. I said, they're not your enemy. They care about you. Your enemy is like, they don't care. They don't want to help you, right? So we really have to recognize that the people in our lives are not our enemies. Now, I understand some people act like it. They're like, well, you don't know my husband. You don't know my kids. You don't know my in-laws. I get it, okay? But this is to help you have the right mindset. If you have the right mindset that I'm here to collaborate. I am here to resolve. I'm not here to duke it out with you. It really makes a big difference, okay? Embrace empathy. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Embrace empathy. You really, really have to start looking and feeling what others go through. And that's really hard for some people. Some people really do not have the skills to sit in someone else's emotion. I had someone that anytime I shared anything with them, it was just like, whew, they just would like kind of like slide over it and go right into something about themselves. And, you know, I would just say like, I'm sharing something, let's say emotional or something difficult. And, oh yeah, and I have to plan a party. I'm like, hello, hello, are you listening? You know, and I just would tell her that it's really good to sit in that emotion for a minute without it becoming about you. And she admitted it, that she's like, I don't have any empathy. And that was very honest. That was very honest. And she's like, how can I be empathetic when I really don't have it in my heart? And so it was like about learning. I said, okay, well, you can at least learn to have the right behavior. When someone is telling you that they are overwhelmed, they had like this problem, sit in it. What do I mean by that? It's just saying it. I mean, just expressing the fact that that must be really difficult. That's all you got to do. Like validate. Like it's like, that must be really hurtful. Oh my God, that must be very stressful. Oh my gosh. And just feel for the other person. Even if you don't feel it, Say the right things, do the right things, okay? Because when you quickly make it about yourself, then you're telling the other person, I don't really care about you, okay? All right, so let's see the other party. Thank you, excellent. See the other party as a partner, not the enemy. Good job for writing it and getting that across. Going through divorce because of my soon-to-be ex-husband, anger issues. Some people just don't want to change. I'm sorry that you're going through the divorce, subhanAllah, and it's been difficult because of the anger issues. You know, but sometimes divorce is necessary. And sometimes when I work with individuals and we really put in the effort and two people just are not able to get on the same page, I see getting a divorce just as successful as improving the marriage. Sometimes, like, you are not living in a dysfunctional household. The kids are not seeing a dysfunctional relationship. So, you know, inshallah, may Allah bless you with peace and something better. Can we all make dua? Like, just put a, like, did you know the prayer? You know how everyone puts this as the prayer signal? It's apparently high five. I just learned this. So let's do this dua. Let's do this and not give high five, because we're seeing all these horrible things online on social media. And everyone's like, this is high fiving. It's so funny. I never knew that. All right. See the other party as a partner, not your enemy. See, we're going to keep saying it, repeating it, so that everyone can get that clear, right? I'm really struggling to have empathy for someone who hurt me. I can understand their circumstances and why they react that way. But after a certain age, people are responsible for their healing. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that people are responsible for their healing. And it is hard to see someone be so immature. And you guys, maturity has nothing to do with age. You can see people, senior citizens, and they are still acting like an 8-year-old. And it's just sad. It really is sad. But that's the reality of it. And individuals who are not doing the internal work, you know, like here on the Mindful Hearts Academy, our mentorship program, it's all about doing the internal work. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that the heaviest thing on the scale is what? It's not the prayer. It's not the zakat. It's not the jihad. It's not giving in charity. The heaviest thing. What is the heaviest thing on the scale? Can you all write it down? The heaviest thing on the scale, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who's going to get it? I'm going to have a sip of water. Is a good character. No one wrote it. Good job. Okay, assessed it. All right. I mean, may Allah make it easy for her. Good character, right? And how do you get a good character? Because do we have so many people who pray and who read Quran and who memorize and give lectures and have hadith memorized and they sound eloquent and they look innocent? And the reality is their character is horrible, horrible. The people closest to them can talk and just expose how horrible they are, right? Because they haven't done the inner work. Those of you who are actually doing the inner work by doing the Mindful Hearts Academy, and those of you, if you're on here and you're not part of the community, we'd love to have you as part of the community. Or if you know friends or family members who are struggling and you don't know what to tell them, you know, week after week, they're complaining about the same things, you know, have them, invite them, tell them to, you know, be a part of this so that they can work on themselves. The divorce has been taking 4 years because of his disagreeable nature. So done with it. Literally, may Allah help us all. Oh my goodness. I can't imagine it taking 4 years. May Allah make it easy and may this be a source of a lot of good deeds, inshallah. You know, when someone goes through divorce, and I'll just say this as a side issue, is that is when you're really being tested, right? Your character is being tested and the shaitan is going to come at you. And there's so many people who are, they're good and they have, you know, they may have the knowledge, but they totally lose it when they're going through divorce because the ego, right? The ego gets involved and it becomes about, I got to win. And so I'll destroy the other person. And then they're getting advice from ruthless lawyers a lot of time that they're just like, they see you as a dollar sign. It's all about, like, you know, let's crush him, let's get him for what he's got, and this whole mindset. So being God conscious and doing a divorce, not slandering the person, not destroying the person financially, like all of that, like that is a very difficult test that very few people pass. I've hardly ever seen individuals who can go through this without like the shaitan totally taking over. I've seen it, interestingly enough, sometimes people, they may not be as religious, but then they will uphold the right character. And those who may be so religious, they become the most vicious towards their ex. And it's just, it's unbelievable. May Allah, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, may Allah protect us, protect our children from these kind of spouses that will literally, they will destroy your life. So may Allah make it easier for you. It can be challenging when your partner doesn't invest as much effort as you do. My husband attended counseling with me, but he hasn't taken the course yet, not due to a lack of willingness to change. Yes, it is difficult. Okay, but because he has ADHD. Okay, well, that's nice of you to acknowledge that it's not that he doesn't want to change, but it's hard, right? So this is the link to Mindful Hearts. If anyone wants to share it, you know, you share it with your friends, people. And, you know, when you grow together, it is amazing. I've been in halaqas, like the halaqa that changed my life, subhanAllah, over like, gosh, I guess, how many years ago? Like over 25 years ago, group of sisters. We would meet every Thursday night. SubhanAllah, here we're meeting on Thursdays. And just the fact that we were, you know, like-minded individuals, we're working on the deen and we're just connecting, it helped us to grow exponentially. And I've actually always tried to recreate that by having, whether it was the halaqas I had in Dubai or halaqas in Egypt, and now the Mindful Hearts Academy, it's all about creating that safe environment. So you learn, you grow, and you become better. So inshallah. Have you ever had to make the decision to not let someone back into your life? Not because you are holding a grudge, but because you have made the hard decision that their absence is better for you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That has happened. You have to be careful that it's not someone like Silat al-Rahim. It's not a family member, right? Family member, we can't cut off. But you can limit your exposure. You don't have to be best friends with someone. You don't have to talk to them and see them every day. But sometimes with friendship, it does happen that way. How does body language affect communication in interpersonal relationships? A lot, right? Because, you know, when I'm looking at someone that I'm doing sessions with, if their body language matches what they're saying, then that's great. That means there's congruence. There's congruence. I say what I believe in, okay? But if they say the right things and their body language is different, I listen to the body language, right? So if someone is like this, it's like, yeah, I'm totally at peace with this. Yeah. The in-laws can come and stay for a month. I really don't have an issue with this at all. Like, or maybe they're saying it the right way, but it's just the body language, right? Yeah, they could come. I don't mind them staying for a month. And then you have to listen to the body language. So it is very, very critical. Let's see, crying for missing him over crying. What? Crying for missing him, over crying because of him all day, every day. Aww. May Allah heal your heart and may Allah really give you that peace and tranquility. Sisters, if we can show some love to our sister going through such a difficult time. It's very, very difficult. So embrace him and put yourself in the other person's shoes to understand their feelings and perspective. Really try to understand where this person is coming from and validate their emotions, right? And show genuine concern. When you validate, it's just like the examples I gave, like it must be so difficult. It must be so hard going through this divorce right now. Such an easy thing to do, and it will bring so much closure. Stay calm and composed. This might be the hardest, right? This might be the hardest for most people. This idea of staying calm and composed, right? Keep your emotions in check to prevent escalation and defensiveness. So you got to really be aware of your emotions. I mean, you know, unfortunately, this is the downfall of a lot of women, not being in control of their emotions, just losing it, whether it's exploding, explosive anger, or just crying. And like you were saying, sometimes people use that as manipulation or just being so overwhelmed. I guarantee that if you're doing the inner work, if you're overcoming your insecurities, if you go through what level one on Mindful Hearts Academy, was it phase three, emotional intelligence, and then phase four, which is how to control negative emotions. If you go through those and you really embody those lessons, it will change you. You will really become more in control and you won't be at the mercy of your emotions. You can take deep breaths or brief pauses to maintain composure during heated moments, okay? And in lesson four, I think it's phase four, right? Level one, that there's a whole like, okay, this is a very brief explanation. Take a deep breath, but there's so much more to it. How do you deal with your negative emotions? So if that's an issue, work on it. Work on it and really make it your jihad. Make it your, like, I'm going to overcome my like emotional outbursts. That will weigh so heavily on the scales of your good deed because, you know, we said the heaviest thing is a good character, right? So Fatma, Sister Fatma is saying, I'm guilty of that. Well, it's, you know, alhamdulillah that you realize it. Practice mindfulness. Engage in mindfulness techniques such as focusing on the present moment. Good job. To help you observe your emotions without immediately reacting to them. Good job. Give me a high five. Sounds like a person who has been, mashallah, working on themselves, right? All right. Now the next one, communicate openly. This is a very critical part of it. Now, if those of you who haven't gone through the first, I think there's like five lessons of conflict resolution. Those are very critical. This is, you know, this is lesson six of conflict resolution. And those are very critical because I talk about how to listen. You know, I did a whole semester in master's program on listening. A whole semester. Everyone should be required to do that. Honestly, that will resolve so many issues. And we also had a whole lesson on communication. So I'm not going to dive deep into it right now, but those are very critical parts of learning how to resolve conflict. Okay. All right. Let's see. So the open, express your thoughts and feelings clearly and respectfully. So again, I have the steps, you know, and how to make I statements, how to respond, how to take all that in. We don't have time to go in depth about that right now, but it's really about expressing yourself without being too wordy, without it being too long. People will just tune out, right? And then you have to listen actively and attentively, really listen to understand. That is one of the most important things you could do in conflict resolution. Listen to understand, not to respond. Okay. And then focus on the issue, not the person. Focus on the issue. Address the specific problems at hand rather than making personal attacks. So a lot of times what ends up happening is that you start attacking the person. Let's say it is, it's, you know, your teens. Right? Your teens are, they have a messy room, right? Instead of addressing the fact that there's a messy room, you're so lazy, you're unorganized, you never do anything right. And it just becomes like you're attacking the person. No, the problem is the messy room, right? So separate the behavior or issues from the person's character. And that way the person will not become defensive. And maybe that is the reason why a lot of people become defensive when you talk to them. How to negotiate effectively. Okay, so getting to yes, there's a great book, which is Negotiating Agreements Without Giving In, getting to the yes. And these are the four steps, and I'm going to go into them a little bit deeper. But step number one, separate the people from the problem. So just what we talked about, right? When you focus on the problem, then people are not going to become defensive. Second, focus on interest, not the position. right? Because sometimes people become so adamant about their position. For instance, I know like when people, when they have, let's say, the different madhahibs, and they become very much as like, this is my position. And then they stop being logical, right? So we need to stop this kind of dogmatic way of thinking, right? Generate options for mutual gain. You want to generate options. You want it to be win-win, right? Another way of saying that is think win-win, right? And use a objective criterion. Use a fair standard. Okay, so focus on the interest, not positions. What do we mean about that? So understand and address the underlying needs, the concerns, the desires, right? And then instead of like just sticking to a specific demand or position, a lot of times I find that when, let's say husband and wife, when they're arguing, right? One person could bring up divorce because the like husband gave away a pot and he's like, this doesn't make sense. What's wrong with her? I don't really understand. This is like, you know, she's so weird. She's so weird. Like I just gave away a pot and I say, it's not about the pot. It's not about you giving away the pot. It's not about like, and then it's about, dig a little deeper. Find out what's the underlying issue, right? So this is what I've been implementing and it has helped me a lot. Very good. Alhamdulillah. It's digging deeper and understanding the emotions, the need. So when the wife is complaining about like, you're working too much and you're never, you know, you're working too much and you're helping, it's saying, I miss you. And I want to have time with you. But she's not going to say that because she doesn't want to become vulnerable. It's a lot easier to be angry than to show weakness for most people. So if she said, I really just miss you, I miss our time together, he would probably melt and want to have that time. But she doesn't do that. She gets angry. You're always helping other people. You're always working. Yeah. And so then he becomes defensive. Well, I'm working because you're working, right? So identify and explore the interest behind the position, right? Really try to come at what is underlying all this. Then separate the people from the problem, right? This is very critical, especially in parenting. So address the issue at hand without personal attacks or emotional confrontation. Don't make it about like a character assassination. It's really about let's resolve this issue, right? And so when you focus on the problem, and then work together to resolve it. Don't attribute it. Don't attribute it to their issues and it's their fault. Don't blame. Don't do the character assassination. That's very critical. Okay. And then we're going to give options that are win-win. How can you think of it like win-win? Now imagine this, okay? You have a business partner, okay? And your business partner says, okay, you know, here's what we're going to do, okay? You're going to do all the work and I'm going to take all the profit. How would that sound? You'd be like, this is crazy. I'm not going to agree to that. And this is exactly the mindset that many people have in their marriages. It's more about, you know, I get what I want and I don't care about you. And that's why people become they become argumentative because it's like, you don't have my best interest at heart. You're just thinking of yourself. It's selfishness, right? But if the business partner says, okay, why don't we do this? And they think to themselves, what could I say that they would agree with? What could I say that shows that I have their best interest in mind? All right, how about we do this? We work 50-50 and we split 50-50. Of course, someone's going to agree to that rather than you do all the work, I take all the money. So think about that. Think about it when you are negotiating with your spouse, when you're negotiating with your kids, with your teens, with your in-laws, that it's not just about, oh, I have to get what I want and I don't give a damn about you. Well, no, you do have to care, right? And that's very, very critical. Ownership of feelings, I statement, encourage individuals to express their own feelings and experience rather than blaming or criticizing the other person. Absolutely. When you say, like, I feel sad when you don't spend time with me. I feel frustrated when you raise your voice. But what is on the husband to dig deeper when the wife should learn how to communicate clearly? The pot example, it seems like this absolves the wife for accountability. It goes both ways. I may have used it for the example about the wife, but definitely goes both ways. You have to always dig deeper and see, what is the underlying ask? What is the emotional, like emotionally, what is this person needing, right? That's so critical, okay? And then you have to use a fair standard. You cannot be, you can't have a double standard. You cannot have this like, well, this applies to me, but it does, you know, it applies to you. It doesn't apply to me, because this is going to make people very upset and frustrated, right? Base the agreement on a fair and objective standard, right? And don't just look at your own objectives, right? That's very critical. And what you do, if you put some kind of like external benchmark, right? Whether it's legal standard, whether it's like an expert opinion, this is why, like when someone comes in for marriage counseling, and they may be disagreeing, and they see, they'll present their views, and then they want my objective, or they want my perspective, and I share it without taking sides, just saying and calling out if something doesn't make sense, if it's not fair, right? And so this way, you're being fair, right? All right, so let's do this now. All right. Okay, I once had someone tell me she felt like she was walking on eggshells with me, but that didn't communicate what I actually did. Am I responsible for helping someone understand their feelings? Well, it's really important. I'm glad, like, you're asking a lot of great questions in the sense that, you know, what do you do? If someone has told you, I'm walking on eggshells, and they may not tell you why, because obviously they don't feel safe emotionally, okay? The bottom line is, when someone doesn't feel safe emotionally, they're not going to share with you, right? So you have to really reflect honestly and say, how did I respond? How have I acted with them that they would say they walk on eggshells? Have you been super sensitive? Have you been over... just very reactionary? Have you been explosive? Have you shut down? Have you given silent treatment? Have you treated them, unfairly? And when you try to understand your emotions, so don't expect them to necessarily give you all of that, because they obviously don't feel safe. And there's a reason why someone doesn't feel safe. So we can't just blame it on that person and say, oh, well, they should know better. No, it's we have somehow made this person feel unsafe, and that's why they can't share. Okay, that's a very important acknowledgement. Will the avoidance type lead you to eventually be resistant to becoming vulnerable and refrain from opening up? Yes, absolutely. If someone is consistently avoiding, they're like, you give up, whatever. Okay. And that's why a lot of couples, they end up living as roommates, because they're like, you know what? It's easier not to deal with this person, right? And this one, I have an avoidant type in attachment style. What type is best for me as a partner? Okay. Well, so it's really critical to to sit down and talk to the person and recognize what their expectations are. Okay. So for instance, if someone is very clingy, right? If someone is very much, they have this sense of like wanting to attach, and they're obsessively, they're very obsessive in their relationships, and then you have an avoidant behavior, that is going to cause constant problems. And I see this all the time. So, for instance, you could also look at the love languages. If someone, for instance, has a strong need for physical touch, they like to be hugged, they like to be caressed and all of that, and then they marry someone who can't stand that for whatever reason, this is going to cause constant issues. So you have to discuss. You have to discuss with a person. If you have two avoidant individuals, they have avoidant attachment styles, then you're going to find like they're just going to live as roommates, right? So what I would encourage you to do, right, instead of just thinking about, okay, who's going to be a good match, but what could you do to maybe improve that aspect of yourself, where instead of being avoidant, you learn how to have a better, healthier attachment. So if someone is really clingy and they're very needy of others, you know, let's develop and cultivate some independence, right? Let me not be as clingy. Let me do things on my own a bit more. Let me not like ask for validation time and time again. And that who is the person who is avoidant, make more of an effort to connect, to share, right? And in that way, it's not just about, okay, this is the way I am. Like some people will say, yeah, well, I'm a negative person. I'm pessimistic, guys. I'm pessimistic. All right. Who's going to get along with me? No. Well, let's change that. Let's make it more of, I'm going to cultivate more optimism, or I'm going to complain a little bit less. You see? So that's really critical. So very quickly, if you could write down one thing that you walked away with, one thing that you learned from this lesson, and one thing you're going to apply, right? One thing you learned, one thing you're going to apply. And that way we are making a commitment each week. Inshallah, we're going to get back on track with all this. And you're making a commitment to work on yourself. You're making a commitment to be a better version of yourself. And how critical is this? How many people in this world are actually doing that internal work? Not many, not many. And it's when you're able to reflect on your shortcomings and you can improve yourself, this is a huge success. How can I have empathy for people who have trauma? I cause them to be insecure, non-confrontational, have no boundaries. I struggle to respect people like that and don't think I should have to baby them. Okay. So when someone has trauma and maybe they don't recognize it, we have to be very, very careful in doing this internal work. It is what's challenging is remaining humble. Okay. It's, you know, this is something I would say like for the past 40 years, alhamdulillah, I've been working on myself. Like it's been from my teen years, from when I was my first psychology course when I was 16. So this has been this constant, you know, working and developing and changing and improving. And, you know, you could come across someone who is completely oblivious, right? And the challenge is not to think of yourself as somehow superior, not to judge the other person who is not as evolved, right? And not to look down on them. And that is, you know, just like we frown at someone who may like think they're superior or they're arrogant about, let's say, their wealth, right? If someone is sit there, like they're bragging about how much money they have or how much they spent to someone who doesn't have it. And it's just basically saying, look, I have so much money. And the reason you don't have money is because you're a lazy bum. You don't work. You don't. That mentality, like we really have to work on ourselves to not be judgmental, right? So seeing that someone has trauma and they maybe haven't worked on themselves, instead of like just saying, I don't want to baby them, it's having that empathy and thinking that, ya Allah, may Allah give them the opportunity to work on themselves. Maybe like, you know, just like I said, give them a link, maybe get them like a 1 month subscription. It's the best gift. If you can get someone like a marriage program or, you know, a self-development program, we spend so much on trivial things. We go out for lunch and how much do we spend? And you get this and just like, you give it as a gift instead of looking down, show them the way that they can work on themselves, right? It sounds terrible, but I feel like as adults, people need to do the work instead of making excuses. It's true. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I'm absolutely in favor of people doing the work. But in the process, we have to really keep our humility in check. We really have to make sure that we're not acting arrogantly, right? Because just like when people become religious, and the more they do, and they're like praying tahajjud, and they're reading, doing their adhkar, and then, oh my God, she doesn't even pray. What's wrong with her, right? That attitude. It's just as nasty. I'm sorry to say, but it's just as nasty to kind of have that attitude. Because it's like we're all evolving at different rates. We all have a different capacity. And mashallah, if like Allah has blessed you and Allah has given you the opportunity to learn. You have had the opportunity to work on yourself. You've had maybe the money to invest in, whether it's in counseling or in programs, but another person hasn't. Just try to have a sense of compassion. Okay, so you said, see the other person as a partner, not your enemy. Sister Khadija, high five. All right. I grew up with parents who were avoidant, and that's what I learned since I was a little girl, and I try my best, but keeps coming out. I understand. Just the fact that you recognize it and you understand it and you're working on it is amazing. What I learned was see the person as your partner, not the enemy. High five. Notice how that keeps coming up because we got everyone to write it. So I'm glad that that's stuck. Jazakallah khair, you're right. It's easy to see arrogance in the context of wealth. I have never thought of context of healing. You know, it is very, very critical. I'm very conscientious of that because when, you know, delving into this topic, like 40 years of research and self-development, I have to be very cautious about not looking at others in that light or just saying like, well, what's wrong with you? Like, why didn't you know this? Like, why don't you work on yourself, right? It's so critical because, you know, and then sometimes people have, intellectual arrogance. They feel like, oh, you know, I'm smarter and you're not as intellectual. But this just is all. I mean, if we have a mustard seed, have you ever seen the size of a mustard seed? It's tiny. Mustard seed. Let's look it up, guys. Mustard seed. Let's see how small it is. Okay. Let's look at it because this is, look, do you see it? You see, it's like a little dot. That's a mustard seed. If we have a mustard seed of arrogance, like one of these little things, you see it, right? Then we don't enter agenda. That's serious stuff. So don't look down on someone for not being as evolved, as not being emotionally calm, not being as, you know, charitable, religious. You guys, we have so much to work on. So much to work on ourselves. Excuse me. There's no room. Absolutely no room for judgment. All right, very quickly, what are you going to do differently? Okay, what are you going to do differently from now on from what we talked about? And inshallah, you know, for those of you who, you know, really want to be serious about this, you know, self-improvement and really just be a part of this, be a part of the platform, get involved, get engaged, learn, discuss, and this will totally transform you. I guarantee. I mean, I've seen people come into the Mindful Hearts Academy broken, sad, disappointed, hopeless, and now, mashallah, they're becoming leaders of their communities, right? So really important stuff. Let's see. We are so lucky, a person like you, so much knowledge and wisdom. I wish to attain the same. Just like Allah khairan. You know, anything that we have, it is like Allah really provides. It's when they say Adam and Fadli Rabbik, you know, that this is all from the mercy of Allah. This is all from Allah's barakat. And inshallah, what we want to do is like, I want to share it. I want to share it and make sure that all of this is, it impacts more and more people. Imagine that when you evolve and when you make a change in yourself, and then it has a ripple effect, right? You will treat your spouse differently. You will treat your kids differently. And this can have a generational impact. So inshallah, we can share and have this, have it grow. But jazakallah khairan for your beautiful comment. Let's see. And this one, be mindful and calm before responding. High five. Good job. And Sister Sarwat, high five for your beautiful comment. You guys take good care. Inshallah, we will continue on conflict resolution, right? How do I pay for this year? Can you please send the link, Sister Aisha? And let's see. I think you had the link. You have the link. Let's see. Here we go. This is the link to the website, and you can be a member, inshallah, or renew your membership. It once you become a member, then it automatically renews. But if you want to share, there's a section on the bottom that if you want to gift it to someone who really needs it, like this would be an amazing gift, inshallah. Let's see, any other? So it's the Mindful Hearts with an S.com. Okay, thank you, sisters, for being patient and engaging in today's class. See you again, inshallah, next Thursday. Jazakallah khairan. And I hope you got the link. Sister Aisha, if you put the link again, and I'll leave it up for a while in case anyone needs it. I pray that Allah gives us the wisdom, the patience, the humility to know how to deal with every person in our life with wisdom. You know, the verse in the Quran that says, that Allah has given wisdom, right? He has given wisdom to some people, and I'm summarizing it, that He gives the wisdom to whom He pleases, and whoever has wisdom has been given a great gift, okay? Now, you know who you are. If you have wisdom, you know if you have it. If you don't have wisdom, you know who you are. Pray for it. Before I take on any important issue, I pray for the wisdom. I pray, Ya Allah, guide me. Guide me to say it the right way. Guide me to use the right words. Guide me to be patient. Guide me to be positive. And as you make dua for this, Ya Allah, help us to resolve the conflicts in our marriages. Ya Allah, help us to resolve the issues with our teens and with our children. Ya Allah, help us to resolve the issues with our in-laws. Ya Allah, help us to truly work on our character in such a way, with such sincerity, that it will truly be the heaviest thing on the scale. So thank you all for joining in today. Take good care and salam alaikum. Bye-bye.